dog food. I took a closer look at the can. So did little Alfred. Until this very moment, neither of us had noticed the picture of a German Shepherd on the label, but there he was. Well, it sure fooled me, and it sure fooled Slim, too. Don't forget, he's the one who'd said it was the best hash he'd ever eaten. Well, this was a strange turn of events. Neither I nor Alfred knew quite how to respond to it. Under different circumstances, we might have gotten a big laugh out of it. I mean, you must admit that it was pretty funny. But with Slim sick to start with and talking on the phone to his lady friend, well, it just didn't seem the proper time to go into fits and gales of laughter. Slim wasn't laughing. After giving me and Alfred some hot glares, he returned to his phone conversation. Hello? Viola, you still there? Yes, I'm serious. Button opened up a can and thought it was hash, only it was dog food. Every bite. Well, it was pretty good until I seen the can. Yes, I feel a little sick, but I felt sick before I ate it. Oh, just a little cold is all. Button thinks it's the measles, but I'm sure it ain't. Grown men don't get... He scowled. They do? Pretty bad, huh? Well, that part fits. I'd have to feel better to die. Red spots? No, I don't have any. Alfred was listening to Slim's end of the conversation, and his face showed astonishment.
Slim, you do too have red spots.
Shh, just hush. We don't want to get her all stirred up. Huh? Oh, I was just talking to my chef. After feeding me dog food hash, now he's trying to play doctor. He thinks I've got red spots, but I'm pretty sure. Mirror? Well, yes, I reckon there's... I'll be darned, I'm standing right in front of one. He squinted into the mirror. His eyebrows jumped. Viola, you still there? What would it mean if a guy's whole face was splotched with red? Huh, I'll be darned. Well, supposing a feller had measles, what would he do for him? Well, we can skip over that part. I ain't going to the doctor. Me and doctors don't know.
He held the phone away from his ear for a few seconds, then went back to it.
You still there? No, it ain't that I'm stubborn and mule-headed. It's just, okay, I'm stubborn and mule-headed, but I ain't going to the doctor.
His gaze went to the window.
Good honk. Did you know it's snowing outside? Well, there's my reason right there. I ain't going to town in a snowstorm. Huh? Well, if it quits snowing, I still ain't.
His expression darkened.
No, I wouldn't hear of it. No, I ain't sick. I'm feeling better already, honest. Them red spots are just about gone. Viola? Hello?
He hung up the phone and gave us a scowl.
Arguing with her is like arguing with petrified wood. I reckon she's gonna try to drive up here in her daddy's pickup, and I ain't got the energy to fight her. And you know what else? When she gets that thing stuck in the snowdrift, I ain't gonna have the energy to go pull her out. I'm going to bed, in the bedroom.
Dragging his feet across the floor, he started towards the bedroom. All at once he stopped, picked up one foot, and felt it.
What's that sticky stuff on the floor?
Silence fell over the room as Alfred and I studied the patterns and so forth on the wallpaper.
Never mind. I don't want to know. But you knotheads just remember,
If Sally Mae comes home and decides to kill me, y'all will be next on her list. With that, he dragged himself through the darkened house. We could hear him muttering to himself, "I don't know how I get into these messes. And Viola's out running around in a snowstorm. Stubborn woman." He heard the bed squeak as he collapsed into it. Alfred and I exchanged worried glances. Then he jerked his head toward the bedroom, and we went creeping through the, yes, that floor was pretty sticky, all right, and I sure hoped we'd have time to clean it up. We crept into the bedroom. There was Slim, stretched out, with the covers pulled up to his chin. His eyes were shut. Alfred's gaze went from Slim to me, then back to Slim.
"Hey, Slim, are you asleep?"
His eyes drifted open.
"Not yet, just drifting that way."
"I'm sorry I fixed you a plate of dog food. I didn't mean to, honest."
A faint smile dashed across Slim's mouth and he waved his hand through the air.
"I know you didn't, Button. Don't worry about it. What's good for a ranch dog can't be too bad for a cowboy, I reckon. And to tell you the truth, it tasted better than what I'm used to."
The boy's lip began to tremble.
"Slim, I don't want you to be sick, and I'm scared."
"Well, don't be scared. Maybe Viola'll make it. You watch the clock, Button. If she ain't here in an hour, you come wake me up here. Maybe I can..."
His eyes closed and he drifted off to sleep. The boy bit his lip and we went back into the kitchen. He cast a worried glance at the big flakes of snow that were swirling at the west window. Then he turned to me.
"Hanky, I can't tell time on a clock. Can you?"
"Me? Heck no, I was just a dog."
He thought about it for a minute. Then his eyes lit up.
"I know. My mom's got a timer. She uses it for cooking. And when you turn the dial all the way around, it means 1 hour.
He ran for his all-purpose ladder, the chair, and scooted it over to the sink. He climbed up onto the counter and...
"Hey, watch out for the..."
He stepped right into a pool of honey on the counter, opened up the cabinet door, and plucked the timer from the highest shelf. He held it up and gave me a smile.
"Great, but I wondered what he would do about that."
"He didn't do anything except pull his foot out of it and climb back down on the floor."
I found myself staring at the sticky honey track on the floor.
I tapped my tail several times, hoping he might get the message about the mess, but he didn't. It went right over his head. I guess he was so excited about solving the timer problem that he didn't notice anything else. He twisted the thing around as far as it would go to the left, right. He twisted the thing as far as it would go, and it started ticking. He set it on the kitchen table, and to reach the table, he had to walk across more honey tracks. She was gonna kill us. She was gonna come home from Abilene, march us out into a snowbank, and shoot all of us. I'm no fuss budget about cleanliness, but even I could see that we were wrecking her house beyond all repair. And when I say we, I mean him. He was gonna get us all shot by his very own mother. I mean, a dog can lick up a few spots here and there, but our tongues were never intended to be mops, for crying out loud. Have you ever tried to mop a whole house with your tongue? It's impossible. It's... Oh, well. There was nothing I could do about it. I would try to enjoy my last days upon this earth. I'd had a pretty good life. I'd always thought it might be a little longer, but... Boy, the thought of seeing Sally Mae when she walked into that house gave me the shivers. We could run away from home. Yes, Alfred and I would pack a lunch and flee into the blizzard, become savages, and live off the land. He could dress himself in something, leaves or rabbit skins. We'd find a cave and make it our home. After a couple of years, maybe Sally Mae would simmer down and take us back.
On the other hand, that old wind was sure howling out there, and the more I thought about running off into a blizzard, the less excited I felt about trying it. Well, once Alfred had set the timer, we had nothing to do but wait. You know about me and waiting. I hate it. Once a guy has developed an active mind, it's hard for him to adjust to the slow rhythms of, and you know what made it worse? The ticking of the darn timer. It made time pass even slower than it would have otherwise. Ho hum. Well, I figured I might as well start mopping the floor. It had to be done, and I had good reason for thinking that Alfred wouldn't get around to doing it. He was an expert on making messes, but not so good at cleaning them up. I started licking honey tracks. It was kind of pleasant work, actually. I mean, if a guy is going to lick the floor, honey tracks are a pretty good thing to lick. The problem was that they were all over the place. How could... Oh, well. The job seemed overwhelming. I had been mopping for, 10 or 15 minutes when Alfred broke the silence.
Hanky, the house is getting cold.
I mopped stopped mopping and glanced around. He was right. The power hadn't come back on and the house was losing heat. I gave him a look that said, right, so what can we do about that?
If the electricity stays off, the plumbing might freeze.
Yikes, I hadn't thought about that. Have we discussed frozen plumbing? Maybe not, but it's about the worst thing that can happen in the winter. I had been through this a time or two down at Slim's place, so I guess we could say that I was, well, something of an expert on ranch plumbing. See, when your heater goes off, the temperature inside the house begins to drop. If it drops far enough, the water pipes freeze. Do you know what happens to water pipes when they freeze? They bust, burst, break, whatever. Even pipes made of steel will break, and then when they thaw out, guess what they do? They leak. They spurt water in bad places, such as under the house, under the sink, in the attic, and boy, you talk about an unholy mess. Busted pipes could ruin a house. Yes, we had a problem here, and to show my concern, I began sweeping my tail across. That is, my tail got hung in some of that honey on the floor, and I found it impossible to do slow sweeps. So I was forced to rise to my feet and go to slow, thoughtful wags. Yes, we had us a problem. Alfred chewed his lip whilst I attended to the slow wags.
Do you reckon we ought to build a fire in the wood stove?
By ourselves? Without Slim? No. Bad idea. Better let Slim do it. The boy thought for a moment.
We need the fire, Hanky. I'll go tell Slim.
Good thinking. He went into the bedroom, and I heard the murmur of their voices. When the boy returned, he said,
Slim said for me and you to bring in some wood. Then he'll get up and light the fire.
And so it was that we launched ourselves into the task of loading up the wood stove.